If you keep your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4, we've been studying this great book together. I started this book, we started back in August, and I thought I would be done by now, and probably I will finish this book by sometime next year. But it's been a fun book. I have loved studying this book chapter by chapter, verse by verse with you. And in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, Paul begins to speak. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." And he's talking about walking in the name of the Lord. And he's talking about our walk with Jesus. Once we know that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, how shall we live? And he begins in verse 2, and he starts to talk about the Holy Spirit. He mentions the fruit of the Spirit. And once we accept Christ into our hearts, our lives are therefore changed. And we slowly but surely, we become more and more like Jesus in the way we think, in the way we do things. And then, as he continues on and he gets down to verse 11, he not only talks about the fruit of the Spirit, but we see he talks about spiritual gifts. He wants us not only to have a character like Jesus, but he wants us to minister like Jesus did when Jesus was here on earth. And once again, he emphasizes the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we continue on in this study, and I want you to look down to verse 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Yeah, he continues to emphasize our need and dependence on the Holy Spirit in our lives. Each and every day, we have the privilege to ask God to come into our hearts, to fill us, to bless us with his presence, and to give us his power. And then not only that our characters can be transformed, but that we can minister like Jesus while we're here on earth. Now, in verse 17, I'm here in Ephesians 4, verse 17. This is where we left off. And he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Now, he's writing to the church at Ephesus. And we've taken a look at Acts chapter 19. And this is what I mean by the futility of mind. If you remember, in Ephesus, there was a man by the name of Demetrius. He was a silversmith. And as a silversmith, he made his living by making idols. And people would come and buy these idols and worship them. And one of these idols was Diana. They believed that Diana was the creator. They believed that Diana sustained life. And they worshiped her. And he got all the silversmiths together. And he was complaining because of the teachings of Christ, because of the teachings of the way, because of the teachings of Paul. Men and women were turning away from their idols, and it was hitting them in the pocketbook. And so he gathers them together, and they run into a theater, and they shout for 2 hours, "Great is the goddess Diana." Wow. That's futility of mind. And he says, hey, that's the old life. But in Jesus Christ, you have a new life. And he wants us to live according to this new life. And isn't it interesting? He talks about the futility of their mind. But in verse 23, he says that you shall be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And therefore, we have a choice to make. Which mind are we going to choose? The old mind with the old nature and to live in the futility of that mind? Or are we going to have a new mind with a new nature filled with the Holy Spirit? In verse 18, notice what it says here. Those who live in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Look at that. They were alienated from the life of God. They were separated from God. You know, Jesus had much to say when he was here on earth about the life that God has in store for you and me. And I just want to take a brief look at this. If you just hold your place here in Ephesians 4 and go with me to John chapter 17. And here Jesus is praying. It's a beautiful prayer, and we should all take time to read it. It doesn't take long to read it, but the things that Jesus says are so profound. And I want us to take a look at John 17, and I want to start in verse 3. All right, they're alienated from the life of God is what Paul says. And here in John 17, verse 3, Jesus tells us what this life is. It says, and this is eternal life. This is the life that they could have, that they could experience right now. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the life that God was offering to us, eternal life. And we have the privilege to know God, to have a relationship with him, to sit at his feet each and every day, to read his word, to study his word, to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is eternal life, he is saying, to know God. And this is the privilege that you and I have to spend time getting to know him, to get acquainted with him. And I hope that you determine to take time to get to know him. Look down at verse 23 with me. Yeah, it's a beautiful prayer. And I'm going to start in verse 23. It says, I in them and you in me. He's praying to God the Father. I in them, he's in our hearts, all right, and you in me, that they may be made perfect. Yeah. Perfection isn't what I do. It's what God does in us. Yeah, yeah. Take a look at this. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And when we have God's presence in our life, we can't help but know his love. Just as if I'm outside in the sun, all right, and I experience its warmth. So as I get to know God, I can't help but know and experience his love within my heart. And you can too. This is what Paul is trying to tell the people. They were giving up in the old nature. You don't know this. You're alienated from God. But in the new nature, you can become one with God. And you can know him. And you can know eternal life. And you can know and experience his love. Yeah, let's keep going down to verse 26. Father, I desire. Notice this. Jesus is praying. He's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah, and he's praying and he's saying, hey, I have a desire. Yeah, this is my desire. This is Jesus' desire, that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Wow. Yeah, this is what Jesus' desire is, that you will know the Father, that you will know who he is, and that you can experience their love, that you can experience his glory. He says, oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared it to them, your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Yeah, yeah, the same love, yeah, that God had for Jesus can be in you today. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, yeah, the moment you believe, you can experience his presence, his power, his love. We no longer have to live according to that old nature. It is through Jesus Christ being with us, us knowing him and experience his presence, his love, his glory, that we can be victorious, that we can experience the perfection of God. Now let's go back to Ephesians 4. Yeah, we no longer want to live in the futility of mind. I was here in verse 18, being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance. We no longer need to be an ignorant people. We can be a people, yeah, that know the Word of God. We can know the Father. We can know Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because of blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to uncleanness and with greediness. Yeah, but you have not so learned of Christ. Notice he's talking about first the Father, now he's talking about Jesus Christ the Son, and then we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and once we are saved by God's grace, hey, they don't turn away from us. Yeah, God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, yeah, they all continue to work in our hearts, transforming our lives. It's the greatest powerhouse that this world has ever known that is working for your salvation and for mine. Here it is. Here it is, verse 18, it's talking about Christ. Verse 20, so you have not so learned of Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Yeah, you have heard, you have been taught through the Word of God. And it's important for us to know the Word of God. It's important for us to know what his word says. This week I was reading in the book Great Controversy, and there's a chapter entitled Snares of Satan. And do you know what he's trying to get us to do? He doesn't want us to read God's word. He doesn't want us to know God's word. Just as he tripped up Adam and Eve, that is his great deception today. He doesn't want people to know what the word says. He has false teachers, false preachers. He has man's philosophies and teachings to turn man away from the word of God. He keeps man so busy doing things, lots of things, even good things, so that he does not study his word. Don't let that happen to you. Don't fall into the traps of the evil one. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time studying his word. Spend time in prayer. These are the things that will give us victory over the evil one. It says here that we have been taught by Christ. This is the way to salvation. And the old nature, he says here that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. Put it off. You're done with it. Don't put it back on. Yeah, don't go back and visit that old man and that old nature. It says, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yeah, this is what God wants for us. He wants us to experience his presence and power today, this very moment as we're sitting in these pews. Yeah, he wants you to experience God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you a new mind and put on the new man, which was created. Yeah, listen to that. The new man, you have been recreated in Jesus Christ, according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That should be our priority. He says, be holy because I am holy. This is the life that God calls us to. He wants us to have a new life, and he wants that new life to begin today. And therefore, because we have a new life, he says, put away lying. Yeah, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor. He says, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Yeah, now look at that. Don't give place to the devil. You know what happens when we give place to the devil. Adam and Eve found out when they gave place to the devil, when they doubted the word of God. Yeah, they fell. They were separated from God. They lost the eternal life that they were created with. Yeah, it makes me think about on December 7th, 1941, 353 Japanese airplanes attacked Pearl Harbor at 7 a.m. in the morning, all right, 50 minutes before the attack started. They were actually picked up on our radars, all right? Yeah, the men that were watching the radars contacted their supervisor, a lieutenant, who looked at it, and he thought it was a mistake. He thought it was airplanes coming from the United States. And he said, don't worry about it. Yeah, that's what happened that day. Yeah, they made a big mistake by don't worry about it. And you know what? That's what the devil's trying to tell us today. Don't worry about it. Yeah, we need to worry about these things. We need to think about these things. We need to put God first and best in our lives starting now. We don't want to go back to that old nature. We want to experience God's presence and power today and every day in our lives. We need to be sitting at his feet. We need to be spending time with him. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. And he continues on. These things, we don't do these things to be saved. We do these things because we are saved. We're saved by his grace, and God is changing us. And this is the life that he has in store for us. You know, as we get to the end, it says in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. During World War II, some Scottish prisoners, they were working on a jungle railroad, and things were really bad there. One day, a shovel went missing, and one of the men was very upset, went after the prisoners, and said, hey, one of you stole a shovel. I want the shovel, and I want it now. Well, nobody knew that there was a shovel missing. And he said, we're going to put you all to death if I don't get the shovel back. And so one man came forward, and immediately he was put to death. Later on that day, they were recounting the shovels, and they realized that there was a mistake that was made. They never lost a shovel. They had all the shovels, and an innocent man died. But because he died, because he stepped forward knowing that he didn't take the shovel, and he was shot immediately, it changed the attitude of all the prisoners. They thought that if he could do that, that they could do that too. And they became very kind to one another in these terrible conditions. And finally, when these soldiers that were prisoners of war were rescued, they took all the men that held them captive, and they had to stand before these former prisoner of war men who were now liberated. And when they looked at them, they could have said, we want them to die. We want them to be treated as we were treated. They said, no. They said, we don't want that. We want to forgive them. Wow. They saw men at its worst. And they, through the grace of God, it was turned around to bring men to their best. And this is what Jesus has done for us. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died on the cross. And through his death, he now offers us a new life. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. May this be our experience in Jesus Christ today. May we experience the presence of God. May we experience the presence of Jesus Christ. May we experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit today and every day till Jesus comes again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder that you have blessed us not only with the gift of salvation, but with the gift of a new life, a life like Jesus lived. And Lord, as we read these words, may these words become real in our own lives. May we be like Jesus in all that we say, in all that we do, and all that we think, and how we treat one another. Lord, may people see Jesus in us and know that we have been sitting at your feet. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and for answering our prayer, because we ask it all in Jesus' name.